This is what happens when I do intros in place of Gary, and I try to do his intro and my intro at the same time. Hi, I'm Chris, and this is Binary Jazz, and I am Jazz Sequence on the Internet. That's Gary, who's Binary Gary on the Internet, and that's Allison, who's Allison Plus on the Internet, and together, collectively, we make Binary Jazz, a podcast about things.
Hey, things. Such a variety of things, I realized, because I someone was asking me about the variety of topics, and I was just like, it's really everything. So I don't turn down suggestions for topics.
Does that mean you got a suggestion for a topic?
It does, yes, for a future episode. Mm. Also, I realized that I don't quite register mentally that I am on a podcast, because someone asked, oh, have you recorded any podcasts lately? And I went, what are you talking about? And I was like, I just acted as if, I was like, I have no idea what you're referencing. And then I remembered, oh, and people listen. Mm. So hi, faithful listeners.
Allison is indeed on a podcast, as are we all.
I know, who knew?
And here's proof. Here. Right here.
In the now. I'm not being nearly said enough about it and being in the now and recognizing that this is where I am.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this podcast, the people that are on this podcast are on a podcast.
Let's get real meta.
Everything that is happening now is happening now.
It's in the now. But it's happening.
How do we get
also
back to then?
But it'll also be It'll also be happening later when you're listening to this, not in the now.
Yes. This is now, now.
In understanding the difficulty of words, right, here's one that bothers me. Space heaters don't actually heat space. They're like for use in your house. Imagine my disappointment.
while a space heater, I mean, I think that's called the sun, but while a space heater would be useful, I hear space is very cold. The space heater for your home heats a space.
Not, I get it. It's just improper space. Use of the word. False advertising.
Improper use of the word for you, but it does do what it advertises. It heats a space. It's just not that space. I think the word space to describe outer space is false advertising, because that just means stuff.
I like this.
Place.
What would be an alternative word you would rather use instead of outer space? I like
something
this.
New. A different word entirely.
Word.
A word that does not exist. Because that would describe the thing that it is.
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a good portmanteau of some sort, but I don't really have much.
Can we just call it beyond?
The beyond.
The beyond.
Beyond heater.
Yeah. Beyond heater.
Beyond
heater. Wow. That's probably worse false advertising. Unless it's like a heater and a cooler, and then it is a beyond heater. It's heat and cools. I had to go to Home Depot last night because the bedroom I built here gets a little chilly. Uh-huh. I have not finished running the venting in there because I've been in the attic twice and I can't really figure out. I mean, I can figure out how to get through the ceiling, but I can't. There's some logistics I haven't figured out yet on how to mount the
vent. An attic as well as a basement or just an attic?
Oh, God, no. There's no basements in Florida. They'd all flood.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Basements are just like a mystery. If people have basements, I'm like, wow. Like, that to me is like a multi-level house. You must be rich if you have a basement. That's that's the Florida man mentality. So the attic over the garage is not like a, you know, like what? I mean, it's like the ladder pulls down and it's just rickety. It's going to break on me one day. It's how I'm going to die. I'm going to climb the ladder. It's going to snap. getting on Christmas decorations, fall to my death, crushed by a Christmas tree, or something.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Wouldn't that suck if that's how it went down? Like in a year, I'll just be like a BuzzFeed link or something.
So Gary is
not coming. Death on podcast. He's apparently on a year before it happens.
I love that you immediately were like, "Oh, and then I'd be a BuzzFeed link."
Like that. BuzzFeed news folks these days.
Yeah,
that's the evolution of this obituary, hypothetically. And we will know him by his path of BuzzFeed links.
You'll know him by the trail of BuzzFeed links.
Anyway,
back
to you predicting how it'll happen.
Oh, so the attic is not like a space that I would want to use with great regularity. It's
right.
It's pretty crappy. I am kicking around the idea of closing in, like putting two walls in the garage. So I've got like a room that's open on one wall. So I can work out there on occasion. I don't know. We'll see.
When you say work out there, you mean work out there, not work out.
Oh, yeah, clearly. I didn't even realize that there was a second definition there. Yeah, that's not a thing.
No, I pictured you like
running.
I was thinking like picturing like a constructing like a home gym sort of situation.
Oh man, when I was in high school, you had to take a phys ed class, like I guess every other semester or something. I don't remember what it was. I mean, like look at me, right? So I somehow ended up in weight training. So it was me, what was his name? This tremendously overweight guy that was nicest guy to me, but like grossly obese. And then the football team. So like my weight training partner was like 300 pounds. I was like a buck 15 in high school, right? Maybe a buck 20. And like your grade was bench pressing your own body weight, right? So like the first week I'm there with like the 45 pound bar, like, and my poor partner, right?
I mean, 300 pounder. Yeah.
He had no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Silly. But
unless that's 300 pounds of pure muscle, that ain't happening.
It was not muscle. It was not muscle. I always try to get to the bench first because yeah, got sweaty and gross and.
Did
that help my interest in any kind of working out that weight training class?
That was what it was.
Oh. Well, fun fact, Aaron did weight training in high school too. I don't know for how long, not very long, but I think it was like at least a semester or something. She's talked about it.
I would just want someone that could spot me well enough to save my life when I wouldn't be able to do it properly. I just want to be able to carry my library books like a boss. That's the end goal. Whatever brings me to that goal.
I did PE, and we rotated activities, and we rotated into the gym. But I never, like, when I stopped having to take PE as a like class, which I think was after sophomore year, I just stopped taking it. Like, I've got better things to do, dude.
Better things. Got other folks.
I got other things. Get me in them plays.
Yeah, we had the option to do, in high school, we could be involved in like the arts or the sport or like tech, like behind the scenes for plays could count as well. Oh. It's interesting.
Yeah, that was all under the drama theater umbrella in my high school. And actually, I think now that I'm thinking about it, because I did 3 years of drama, and I'm pretty sure that was the replacement for PE. So I think it was only 1 year of PE that was required.
That's amazing. I did marching band for all 4 years, but I mean, and I marched my little butt off, but I couldn't count that as PE, which sucked.
I feel like that's, I mean, depending also what instrument you play, that's a lot of physical exertion.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even when it's not, it is.
Rich horn, but like, often.
We did duck walking in marching band for like the first month of marching band. That ain't fun. That's not just like standing in place. I mean, to get us like used to doing it for long periods of time and to do it in unison and all sorts of things.
The coordination.
Yeah, and like also it's painful. Yeah.
I did like where you were headed with that, with the duck walking, where I was like, what's happening? Duck walking? It's like, we had duck walking as an extracurricular.
That's what I was thinking too.
Duck walking.
What is duck walking?
What is duck walking?
Yeah, I'm assuming you're not putting a duck on a leash, which no, is what Allison and I are imagining.
Yeah, really. It's when you walk on the heels of your feet only. So you have to do the entire marching, like the entire song, marching on the heels of your feet, and do it in time and synchronized.
Yeah. You end up using,
because if you can do that, then you can basically, like, the marching thing is a pinch.
Duck walking uses like the weirdest like calf muscle.
Yeah.
Muscles that you're like, oh, that's a thing that exists.
Not a thing I knew I had.
I would appreciate a good our duck walking alternative, which would take even greater coordination on the duck's part. I imagine.
Attach the duck to your little music stand there.
Yeah, it's like agricultural, it's kind of a little 4-H, a little music, sports, involves the whole fam. I like that idea. Also, what kind of leash would you even put on a duck? I don't know. Anyway, that's a whole, like, is it more of a harness? I feel like more of a harness situation, because you can't, like, put a leash on a duck. Their necks seem so tender.
Yeah, I'm so glad I tuned into this episode. Definitely sort of a harness scenario, I think.
Yeah. But then it has to go over the wings.
Over the wings, yeah.
Yeah, no, but it would compress the wings, because you don't want your duck flying away while it's being walked.
This is also true. There are people out here walking ducks. There's answers. I mean,
it's like when you catch...
They get shoes, right? Pet ducks get shoes to protect the webbing between their feet. Google that. I'm pretty sure that's a thing. I'm pretty sure I didn't just make that up. I might have.
Sounds adorable.
They are. Yeah. Maybe I read it on Twitter. Maybe someone I follow on Twitter has a pet duck with cute shoes. God, I hope so. Twitter is
someone out there does.
If you're on Twitter and you have a pet duck with cute shoes,
please follow me so I can follow you back.
Binary Gary. Yeah. No. Well,
or Binary Gary.
Look into the show. But I'll retweet it for sure. Oh, my word.
Cute shoes, cute socks. Basically any sort of waterfowl with footwear, we will accept.
That's fair. If it was a goose, I wouldn't argue. A goose would be fine. Yeah. Well, a flamingo would be trippy, though.
Open big, call.
Like, straight socks pulled up?
Open call to Twitter as a whole to @BinaryJazz with your cute waterfowl shoes photos.
Yeah, I'll accept so many of those. That'll be my new computer wallpaper. Just like flamingos with like really lengthy striped socks.
I had
no Photoshop.
No, yeah.
We need to make that clear. It needs to be actual photographs, not actual Photoshop.
Birds with.
This isn't a Photoshop challenge. We aren't Gizmodo.
That's next week.
Yeah. No.
I'm camping with the kids tonight, and these are the socks I intend to wear. They're Christmas socks. They say bottoms up, but something like that. That's what a flamingo needs.
Something, yeah. They need like a good stripe, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Let me put my socks away.
Good. Well, on that note.
Yeah.
Like, where do we? Yeah, I don't know if I can top waterfowl with footwear. It's just.
Incidentally, our topic today is
waterfowl with footwear.
Flamingos. No. I do love flamingos. Yeah, no, the topic today is a good topic. No, she says, stalling. No. It's Saint Apollonia.
Saint Apollonia.
Yeah.
That's a kind of tuna, right? Apollonia tuna.
So, in the 80s.
I love where your brain takes you immediately, where I'm just like, wow.
In the 80s, Man, this is random.
1880s?
1980s. In the 80s, when Prince was still Prince, and before he was Prince again, he produced...
That was when he was reprinted?
No. Prince was Prince, but then he got into a label dispute, and he was the artist formerly known as Prince, but now known as some strange unpronounceable symbol. And then later he got the rights to all of his albums back, and then he was Prince again because that was the whole deal.
Before I thought you said Prince, P-R-N-T-S, not Prince.
Prince, so I thought he was reprinted. Prince the performer.
Totally misunderstood. If you had made this the artist's icon, I would have understood.
Oh, right. I'll just flash it on the screen.
That's all I'm asking. Yeah, just keep it at hand in case you need it. On your computer for the artist icon.
Please, I think both of you should do that for some sort of work thing that pops up. Just all of a sudden, make a Prince reference, but hold up like a cardboard cutout of the symbol.
Now I need to go print out the symbol. Okay. Anyway, in the 1980s, Prince recorded a series. Artist Prince recorded a couple albums in succession around Purple Rain, and he worked with some other performers. And during this time, notably featured in the film Purple Rain, and possibly the sequel. What is it? Under the Rainbow Bridge or some crap. Anyway,
it's a weird title, but I'll...
yeah, some crap really kills it. So in Purple Rain, his love interest is, I don't remember her name, but she was in the movie and also out of the movie, one of the members of the musical group Apollonia 6. So Saint Apollonia is that person, who is also later then became a fundamentalist Christian and then criticized Prince for his ungodliness.
Not buying it. Can you spell it, please?
All these things are legit, except for possibly the St. Apollonia. The
last 80% of it,
referred
yeah.
to her.
The part where she was martyred. Apollonia? What do you want me to spell? A-P-O-L-L-O-N-I-A.
Chris, can you pronounce it for me in Italian?
Apollonia. Oh, in Italian. Oh, in Italiano. Apollonia. Sante Apollonia. Mamma mia, Sante Apollonia.
It's a gay bar in New Jersey.
The root of the Italian pronunciation.
What, the hand gestures?
Yeah. It just has to be.
The patron saint of parking meters.
Why parking meters?
Or like civic order. Like, here is where you leave your vehicle. You will pay for the spot to leave your vehicle here. Saint Apollonia.
So what did
the feast day of Saint Apollonia is February 29th.
What did Saint Apollonia do to become sainted?
Saint Apollonia famously in Rome back in the 1780s, Chris, not the 1980s, oversaw where all the papal support staff would park their carriages.
So
at that point, he was just Father Apollonia. No, listen, we're getting there. So Father Apollonia, I mean, his job was there in the courtyard, and he did it with such an attitude of service and gratitude for the opportunity to help create order where there previously was not order. Actually led to the implementation of parking lots at Catholic churches around the world. Saint Apollonia.
Yeah, I don't think you know how saints
work. February 29th. not really. I probably should, but no, I don't. I feel like at some point I probably did. But that does seem like something you could be sainted for in the Catholic Church.
No.
Order?
At this point,
I
mean, yeah.
I think that there has to be there has to be three things that you do, and it's not just like public service. It's like...
Time out. Slow down. I want you to go slow on this because I'm about to learn something.
There's three things you have to do. You have to perform three miracles, essentially. How miracles are defined.
Did you see the parking situation before? It would damn near wasn't a miracle.
Well, damn near isn't good enough.
I guess
like,
not.
Like, what is it? Is it St. Patrick who led the snakes out of Ireland?
I think so.
So, like, he
well, the miracle there is
the snakes follow him out of Ireland, and then there's no snakes in Ireland, and now he's a snake.
Declare him a snake oil salesman. But
well, why were there?
That's what he needed the snakes for.
Oiling his snakes.
I mean, what is he gonna? He leaves Ireland. He's in Wales now, and he's like, "What am I going to do with all these snakes?"
Every 3,000 miles, got to oil your snake.
That's a myth, by the way. The 3,000 miles. My car has a little button. I push it, and it tells me the health of my oil. And it's not. It is more than 3,000 miles. That's just they just want your money.
They just
yeah. I think the 3,000 miles absolutely want your money. But I think part of it comes from like the average, like what's a normal amount to drive, right?
Yeah.
So some along the way, someone said, well, 250 miles a week, right? I don't know if that's true or not, but that gives you a 25 mile commute 5 days a week, or 20 mile commute plus like groceries and that kind of crap, right? That works out 12,000 miles a year. So. Like, you want to see
your car. It's all.
I get it, but yeah. The blue car. I call it the blue car. My old Kia, 140,000 miles or something on it. I mean, it gets driven once a week. So it's been 6 months since it's had an oil change. And it hasn't gone 3,000 miles.
It's a granny car.
It kind of, yeah. Yeah. I really need, like, I'm proud of my. Honor grandchild or something like that, you know. I do need to make like an old lady mobile, foldable cart in the back.
Yeah, I'm not knocking granny cars because that's what we bought, and we're super happy with our granny car. At 30,000 miles, it was like 4 years old.
Nice.
Yeah,
I have extolled the virtues of minivans here before, but I'm still team minivan. I wish I was taking the minivan. I'm taking the kids camping tonight. I wish I was taking the minivan. It would be easier. But the blue car is a better car to take camping. Because I don't really care if we get in with muddy shoes or, you know. Mm-hmm. It smells like camping gear for a few weeks. I mean, who's going to know? I won't, but one
that
time.
That sound in the background is the cat, and that's why you're not responding. I'm like, why is there a child crying? Gary is just not doing anything.
Is it the cat?
It was.
It is the cat. It better be.
No, I think you're right. Wow, it is a cat. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's that particular frequency that's like, oh my god, anxiety, and it is just the cat who has somehow mastered that particular frequency.
I feel like I know this cat at this point.
I should bring Max out. He was named Max when we, I don't know, we adopted. There was no adoption process. It was like, we want that one. Okay. I mean, it was like there was like background checks. Adoption seems like such a formal word for what we did. We got a cat that was like going to be put down, you know?
Picked up the cat and walked out of the building.
I think we had to pay for it, but I don't think it was a lot. And now this damn thing's been here. 16 years we've had this cat.
Yeah.
We had the cat shortly after we got married.
Yeah. Our cat, our oldest cat, has been with us for about 16, 17 years, I think.
Good. These are good cat lengths, guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the cat that has not only outlived our other cats, but also was the one that we didn't think would outlive any of our cats, because when we first got her, she was the one that ate lots and lots of fabric. And we're like, she's totally going to tear up her insides.
Yeah.
And she's going to die with like, tied up intestines because of all the crap she eats.
Who among us?
Well, yeah.
But apparently it was just cleaning her intestines.
It's the recipe
Maybe they needed to be cleaned.
Yeah.
Well, as Gary unwinds some yarn. Long life.
Like when dogs eat grass or whatever, and it's supposed to be like they're.
Oh, that just makes them.
Yeah, I don't know that blankets are the same as grass, but yeah, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like a self, like they think they're helping themselves somehow, and it actually panned out for your cat.
Yeah, no, I think it was like eating disorder. It's more like I think literally, like we did do research, and it's the cat equivalent of shirt biting.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
You get a nervous cat.
Yeah.
So it's no longer biting, eating blankets?
Mm. Not for a long time.
That means that you've given that cat a environment where it feels healthy.
We discovered that if we leave food out, like just leave it out instead of like having specific prescribed meal times, then it didn't happen anymore. Because I guess when she felt that urge to chew blankets, she just went to eat a little bit or something. And so she became overweight, but then not eating blankets. And since then, she's actually like,
oh, I'm so full, I couldn't have another bite. Thank you. Yeah. That's lovely.
Since then, she hasn't been overeating as much, but she also still doesn't eat blankets. So yeah, it's a long time now, but she's still a little bit chubby, but not as much as she used to be.
I like I couldn't possibly have another bit blanket. Maybe a baby blanket. Maybe like a little tiny napkin.
Just a nibble. I feel like St. Apollonia is probably like a bulk food distribution company for like Italian, like the cookie cutter Italian restaurants, right? Like, where do you order your red pepper packs from? St. Apollonia.
Maybe I'm not even pronouncing it correctly. Maybe it's like, I don't know how else you'd pronounce it.
In Purple Rain, when they're describing Apollonia 6, that's how they pronounce it. That's also the name of a
city.
I was going to say star system, but okay.
All those things.
A city of stars, got it.
A space heater. The Apollonia space heater.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with my Prince Apollonia definition. It's definitely that chick who was in Apollonia 6 and the love interest.
I'm not gonna stick with any of my definitions because I'm clueless on this one. Clueless how saints work. So we cover all three ways you can be a saint.
You have to do three things, and it doesn't matter what those things are. And then usually when you become a patron saint, you become a patron saint of like one or multiple of those things. Like if you had a particular interest or
parking meters. Yeah.
Yeah. So to be a patron saint of parking meters, you would have to perform three miracles relating to parking meters.
So there is a patron saint of like computers, right?
I don't know. Maybe, but if so, it was probably
that. Of computers.
There's a patron saint of everything.
Yeah, I mean, you can modernize.
Isidore of Seville is the patron saint of the internet.
Yeah,
Isidore? Well,
Isidore of Seville. Yeah. Which is also like,
originally, it was not the patron saint. Originally, before there was the internet, she was not the patron saint of the internet.
Yeah. No, 1997. John Paul II declared Isidore of Seville the patron saint of the internet. Saint Isidore died in the year 636.
What did she do?
Before. She has a beard in this picture.
Great.
I'm in.
That might amend my pronouns.
Yeah.
Does she identify as a she? I have no qualms with a woman who has a beard. I just.
Well, she would have to identify. Well, wait. So. Patron,
yes.
Like, is masculine.
Like Patronus,
right?
Like, you know, you're...
So, who are some saints... Are they... I'm confused.
Patron saint, I don't believe, is a gender-specific...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in this article, Isidore Seville identifies as a man.
Okay. Sir.
And wrote a...
I was going to be a bit surprised if it was a woman, to be honest.
Isidore did try to record everything ever known in an encyclopedia that was ultimately published after his death. I feel like maybe this was a miss. Isidore Seville should not have been patron saint of the internet. Isidore Seville probably should have been patron saint of Facebook.
Facebook does not need a patron saint.
Facebook needs something.
Facebook
has been
listening to the little devil on their shoulder for far too long. So much so that the angel on the shoulder just put up a sign that said furloughed by government shutdown and walked away.
Yeah,
you think 28 days is bad. Jeez, try working at Facebook without a conscience. Yeah. Wow, that was so cool. I'm sure if we have someone that works at Facebook, I'm sure you're a wonderful person and have morals, even if the CEO doesn't. Wait, Facebook and the country are pretty parallel at this point, aren't they?
We're delving into.
So it's about the time to define Saint Apollonia.
Okay, so Saint Apollonia, she is the patron saint of dentists and toothaches. Unfortunately, she died at the hands of an unruly mob who were like not fans of Christians, and they did some pretty horrible things to her teeth, which is why she is the patron saint of dentists.
Oh no!
Golly,
that's like
this is disturbing.
That's like being drawn and quartered and being the patron saint of rope.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, but year-wise, second century is where we're at with this, so it's not recent. But she has a lot of artwork of her holding tongs, sometimes with teeth in them.
Oh God!
So there's a lot of like really interesting artwork with her.
This is the worst way to be sainted ever.
Yeah, it's not great.
Actually, I can't say that. There's probably far worse ways to being sainted. In fact, we should probably do a research project to figure out how everyone else was sainted and have a top 20 list of most gruesome ways of being sainted.
There's got to be better.
Maybe St. Patrick didn't actually lead the snakes out of Ireland. He was just eaten by all the snakes in Ireland.
Exactly.
But they're all tiny, so it was like death by 1,000.
Yes. Yeah.
Papal cuts or something.
Anyway.
Dad jokes.
Smile wide, and next time you go to the dentist, you can
pray to St. Apollonia.
Give a little shout out to St. Apollonia, who is watching out for you.
I had braces.
Obviously, she didn't watch out for herself when they pulled out her teeth. I don't know.
No. Yeah. They did a lot of them.
In my file, it had a note that I was a biter.
Your dental file?
Yeah. Because the orthodontist was in there and he was doing hurt. So I bit him.
Oh.
I mean, it was intentional. It was not like an accidental biting thing. They also had a note that I had a strong gag reflex, which was true. I also had extra teeth, so.
How many extra teeth?
Two. Okay. One here, and one here.
Yeah.
But the first ones that came in were like weak and inferior, so they wanted to pull these ones down. So they did like a little surgery and put brackets on those ones. Oh. The braces to crank them down, but this one, instead of cranking down, pulled the rest of the teeth up.
Oh.
Because it was anchored to the bone, so they did another surgery to try and get it removed from the bone, and when they did, they snapped the bone.
Oh.
So I got a bone graft back in the, what year was that?
I feel like you should have already been praying to St. Apollonia at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say this because
I think it should
that
be
was the beginning of the end of my, I think dentists are scammers. I had my last year. I mean, I did go to the dentist, but I do not. I hate the dentist.
I feel like we should probably put a content warning on this for anybody who has like weird teeth things. I'm just
especially now. It's like it's not even about the cleaning or whatever. It's about all the shit they're gonna put on your teeth. And we're gonna put this like seal on all of your teeth, and we're gonna fluoride the crap out of your mouth, and we're gonna
car wash with your mouth.
Yeah,
it's more about like the whitening and like almost like spa-like aesthetic that they're trying to attain the health.
Yep.
And it's not performed by the dentist, it's performed by dental hygienists who don't need to actually go to, school for dentistry.
But shout out to all those dental hygienists that listen to the podcast.
Hi, dental hygienists.
We believe in you.
It's
quit being assholes.
It's the nature of most industries though, individually. Like people are good. As a whole, like we're pretty much assholes, all of us, like communally. I don't know. Like,
I appreciate it. Is that what you want to end the podcast on? We're all assholes.
Oh, no, we have 3 minutes, and I am just launching into it. You know what I'm going to end on? It's like the Hindenburg. Like, the problem is you have people that are dental hygienists and people that are dentists that are interested in first, you know, keeping people's mouths functional, but secondly, the cosmetic value and that kind of stuff, that are really interested in their patients. And the entire industry is set up now that you can't succeed as, or it's becoming harder to succeed as an independent dentist. You have to become part of one of these dental mills that are just grinding people to make sales. And it's, you know, it's just, it's bullshit what it is. God, I am so negative today. I hope I didn't bring you all down. Go out and put money in someone's parking meter on half the same Apollonia or something. Or teeth, I guess, if you want. You put teeth in the parking meter too. You have extras. Do you have your baby teeth?
I don't have my baby.
There's a question.
No,
I mean, like,
oh, no, I don't have those either.
Do your parents keep your baby teeth?
Just across the board.
I think for a while, but I don't think they do anymore.
Yeah.
I think they kept them for a while. I think it was awesome. We were keeping them for our kids and then threw some away and then decided, oh, wait, but stem cells, and then started keeping them again.
Oh, that's interesting.
You just keep them in the freezer to preserve the stem cells? Or how do you?
No.
What do you?
In a thing. I don't know.
A vial.
Yeah.
And you have them, like, identified, or just, like, all that? Like, this is probably, yeah, that may have been yours. Yeah.
This is the jar of teeth.
I think we have separate. The mosquito inside and extract DNA. I don't understand how you would get stem cells out of a tooth after
it's give it to a doctor and they'll do it.
They have it in a
if in the future something stick is, I don't know.
A walking stick encased in amber.
You carry your extra heart in a jar in the freezer or something in case you need a heart transplant. I mean, everyone does it, right?
That's just how it's done. It's preservation. Self-preservation.
My social norms so often.
My former roommate, or one of my roommates, had one of her pet rats in the freezer for like months and months and months because her rat died and she wanted to like give it a funeral but didn't, and it was still dead and she needed to do something with it. So it was just living in the freezer for...
We all mourn in different ways.
And then there was a ratsicle, and we often had conversations about the ratsicle, and like, you really need to do something about the ratsicle in the freezer.
Was it labeled?
No, I don't think you need to label. It was the rat in the freezer. It didn't need a label.
Was it in a bag or something? Or yes. It was just like laying there?
It was in a Ziploc.
Next to the lasagna
today.
Next to the ice cube trays, I think, and the ice cream.
Yeah, underneath the Apollonia shelf. What a weird episode. Thank you for accommodating my schedule. I appreciate you being so flexible and weird.
We were Apollonia-like in nature. No, I don't know.
I'm trying to think if I missed something in the context of that.
No, I was trying to maybe verb it, but it didn't work out. Apollonia-thic?
Apollonia. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.